Good morning.
Good morning.
I bring greetings to you from New Covenant Missionary Baptist Church at Atebubu in Ghana. And I thank the Lord for saving my soul.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for the opportunity that he has given to me to be here. I thank brothers and sisters and the churches who help with the Gold Coast Mission Fund that has brought us all the years. We used to come by the help of some people, but this time the mission fund was able to transport I somewhere to this place. So we thank the churches and we pray that you go on. The Bible says we should go to all nations and to make disciples. I know not all of us can go to Africa or to other places, but the support and the prayers that your people are giving is helping, and we know that the Lord will bless each of us, whatever we do to help with the work in Ghana and this place and the other places. We thank our brothers also who allow themselves to be used by God to come to help us in Africa. Recently, our brothers, Brother Brad and Brother Jonathan, Brother Jeff, and other brothers are coming over every summer to help us with the Pastors and Deacons Conference. And we thank you, the churches, who are supporting them to come. And I think Samuel was here last week, so I don't have to go over how the church was established. And I know he has already told you. But New Covenant has 5 missions now.
Amen.
Our challenges are that God should call more preachers to help to mind those places. We have only one preacher at one of the missions and other places too. We have to go around. But recently, my truck broke down. Last 2 years, I was here. And when we went back home, I and my wife were able to come. I've come to this place about 15 times. But we saw that we cannot be coming every year. So I see the opportunity that I should bring my wife at least to have fellowship with the people. And when we returned home last 2 years, just about a month, he had stroke. So my wife is having stroke, and so we pray for her. I have 8 children. 5 are saved, and 3 are not saved. The eldest is 38, and the youngest is 14. Some of them are still seeking. One of those who are seeking is 33. And we all know that as people grow old, they become adamant, hearing the gospel all the time, and if you don't allow yourself and to seek the Lord for the Lord to save you, as you grow, your heart becomes so hard. And so my prayer is that my children who are seeking will be saved. And New Covenant has about 65 members, and we have other people who are visiting with us, and some children. We have a school, so, and some of the school are residents. They stay there, so they come to church. And most of the people also, when we started the school, most of them were Muslims, because when we wanted to buy our property, the school was on that property. So we had the school, and we had the property to build our church. So the school is just close to the church. So the children are always coming to church. And the person who established the school was a Muslim. So when we started in 1998, most of the children, about 60%, were Muslims. But as at now, the Muslims have built their own school. Those Muslims in the Arab land, they want to take over Africa. So what they are doing is now they build schools. First, they wanted to do by violence, but they couldn't succeed. So that right now, they are building schools. And see, they have withdrawn some of the children, but we still have a lot in the school. And so that's a way that we can reach them. So the school has been a mission field for us. We're able to maintain the school from 1998 to 2007, and we lost the school because almost all churches want to establish schools, and some of them are doing better than us. And so most of the children go to the other places. And we were having a church van which were transporting some of the children to the school, and it has become old and we have sold it, so we don't have a van to transport them, but the other schools have it, so that always they are getting more people than us. The school was collapsed in 2007, but 2012, some people came to rent our school buildings and start their own school. They couldn't keep up with it. And one of the guys died, and the other also could not pay the rent. So we took over the school in 2012 with 420 children. But every year, we seem to be losing some of the children. As at now, we have 196. Last 2 years, as we saw that the school was declining, we thought of feeding the children, the nursery, because we can't feed all the children. So we thought of feeding the nursery so that they will feed the school, because those in the lower classes were going. And so we started with about 18 children, and we feed every child 25 cents a day. And we started with, and as at now, when I was coming, we have 53 children. It's working with us. It's working for us. And we have some people who are supporting us. And so the school in Ghana too, on every Wednesday, you can go to all the schools in Ghana, whether public school or private school, we have 1 hour for service. Brother Jonathan has been there. I have been to a school in my hometown where I interpreted for the children. And they have, when they come, they have the opportunity to preach at schools. And it's a very good opportunity for us, because some of the children that we can't get them to our church, we can get a chance to preach to them. Last 2 years, when Brother Brad and those brothers who came, they visited my school, they couldn't have a chance to have revival at our place. They came to the school, and Brother Brad preached, and one of the teachers who is from Togo and a Catholic got saved, and one child also got saved. Over the years, when we started, Brother Bryson and those people started coming, we have seen most of the children got saved, especially some of the Muslims. And so that has been the mission field for us. But we have seen our numbers coming down almost every year. And so we pray that we will not lose the school anymore, so that continue to pray for us. So we pray for more call preachers, because in Ghana, getting to the northern part are the unreached areas. Most missionaries, when they come, they go to the north, because in the northern part, that you see more Muslims and more other worshippers. In Atebubu, Atebubu is one of the biggest Muslim settlements in the whole West Africa. The Muslims are about five times more than the people there. So we have a lot of challenges. Though we haven't had any encounter with them, but what they do is that they are withdrawing their children, and they are building schools, they are giving scholarships, so that they will be able to take over Africa. That is their plan. Right now, our vice president is a Muslim, and our president is about 74. He thinks of not going for the second term. So if a Muslim comes to rule the country, then we will have the Sharia law and other things that are going on in Tanzania and Nigeria. So you pray for us, and we also be praying for you. So as this is what is going on with our area, I think, as I told you, since Brother Samuel has come here, he has, I think, narrated to you how the church has started and that has come to this point. Now we have five churches in Ghana and about 10 missions going on. New Covenant has 5 missions, and we pray that the Lord will help us to reach as many people as we can. And we thank the Lord for allowing me to come once again. And this morning, I would like us to open our Bibles to the book of the Gospel of St. Luke. Chapter 18, verse number 18. I'll read. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." And now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they that heard it said, "Who can then be saved?" And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." This morning I want to speak on the topic I have entitled this message as "The One Thing That Lackest." One thing that lackest. This man, as we read, you know, he was a rich person and went to Jesus. Not that rich people will not enter into the kingdom, but those who rely on their riches, and it will be very hard for them. So Jesus told him to sell all that he has, because if anyone want to challenge him with his riches, I think he will not be able to focus. So Jesus told him to sell all that he has and follow him. Not every one of us has something that he lacks. This man Jesus said he lacks one thing, that he should go and sell everything that he has. Not every one of us, when Jesus meet us, he would tell us one thing or other. This person was rich and he was asked to sell what he has. And in your case, it will be one thing that is lacking, maybe the commitment, your commitment to the church, or how in your prayer life, or anything. If we look into our lives, we will realize that every one of us has something that is missing. And this morning, I want us to be able to look into ourselves. And this message will be directed to everybody. That we look into ourselves and to know one thing that is lacking. If you are here and you are lost, and I think the one thing which is most important in your life is to be saved. Because if somebody is locked in a cell, in a condemned cell, and the person is going to be hanged, and the time is toiling and the days are closing up to him, and this person is going to be taken to the gallows to be killed. And if you present a bag of gold to that person, I don't think he will be happy or he will smile. If you present a big estate or anything in this world to that person, the person will not smile and the person will not be happy. The person, what he needs is pardon, because he is going to be killed. And here this morning, if you are here and you are lost, the one thing that you need in your life is to be saved. That's the only thing. In Ghana, if you come to the churches, you see many churches that are full. But if you go there, the preaching is about prosperity and other things. It will take you to go to Africa and to know how God has blessed you. Those like Brother Jonathan and other people who have gone to Africa, I think they appreciate what God has given them. I know that you appreciate it, but if you go and if you compare how things are, you appreciate more. People go to church not because of anything. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, that those who come unto God through Jesus Christ, he saves to the utmost. But many people go to God and they ask for, in Africa, for instance, they ask for their daily needs, because there is abject poverty. People even don't have what to eat. So many people go to the church without the best reason. If you are here and you are lost, I think the Bible says the prayer of the sinner, God will even not listen. So the thing that you need most in your life before you ask for anything is to seek the Lord. As I told you that if somebody is condemned to die, the person needs only pardon. He doesn't need anything. And as if you are here and you are saved too, there is always something that is missing in our lives. Right? Recently, we've seen that the churches are getting, the number is getting down. In Africa, when our brothers come there, they come to tell our people here that we worship throughout the week. But now it is not like that. The Bible says when the end time is getting closer, people's love was cold. So we are seeing that the world, in worldwide Christianity is the love for God is getting colder and colder. And so here, if you are here and you are lucky to be born into a church like this, whose main aim is to get people saved, because I've been a charismatic church before. I was born into the Assemblies of God, which is a Pentecostal. And what they do is that in the Pentecostal, you have to learn to speak in tongues, because they say that it is the language in the heaven. So if you are not able to speak in tongues, that means you are not saved. That is. And in charismatic church too, they said you need to have a charisma, that whether to heal or to perform miracles. So everybody in the charismatic church try to have a charisma. But we in the Missionary Baptist Church, we have one thing that we ask people to seek and to be saved. And the first time I had the opportunity to come here, I had everything. I had my ticket, my visa, my everything, but without the visa, I could not come. So we know that what the others believe, it must be good for them, but without salvation, nobody can enter into heaven. So I think we are on the right path. Those of us who are promoting salvation, we are on the right path. So if you are here and you are lucky to be born into a church like this, and if you have heard sermons upon sermons every time, and if you ignore it, if you die, your blood shall be upon your own head. Because you have had that opportunity every time. The churches here always have revivals. I think we are going to have a revival very soon. And maybe you can see maybe only one child or even just some few people who are lost. But we know that the value of the soul cannot be compared to anything. So the church knows the value of the soul, and so they will do revivals to be able to get that person alone to be saved. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 21, it says, "Let the bride say, come." The bride is the church. So the church is always doing its part to let people come. And he says, "Whosoever will let him come." If that word was not used, I don't think I would have been here, because I was born into a fetish family. My grandfather was a fetish priest. My father was a preacher, but I'm an Ashanti, and in our place, we inherit from the maternal side. So my grandfather took me to stay with him so that when he dies, I will take his place. But when he died, by then, I was already known the Lord, so I ran to my father. And somebody who was born into a fetish. My people in my mother's side, they are still worshiping alligators in a lake. They are, as we are reading in the Romans this afternoon, that instead of worshiping the Creator, we are worshiping creatures. And so if God has found his fit to save me, then those of you who have been born into a ministry like this, those who have been born to some parents who have brought you when you were a child into this church, and you have been hearing sermons upon sermons, I think what you need most in your life is to be saved. I told you that those people here, though we know that not everybody is rich, but you have what you, at least what you have. In Ghana, if it were to be in Ghana, and it will be impossible for snow to fall in Ghana, but if it's like this in Ghana, nobody will go to church. Even when it rains, nobody goes to church, because nobody owns a car in the whole church. I think I'm the only person who is owning a car. And so you are privileged in every way. And if you stand before the bar of God, I don't think you can give any excuse. And you have been taught the truth. I don't think if I come here and to stand here and to preach in my language, I don't think you understand. But any pastor or any time the pastor comes here, he preaches in a way, he used different kinds of illustrations to bring what he wants to let you know, to bring home for what you want to know and let you understand. So if you understand the gospel, and if you know, sometimes you feel that in your spirit, you feel that the preacher is preaching and is directed to you and to you alone. So if you are here and you are lost, one thing that you need most in your life is to seek the Lord and to be saved. As I told you, in Africa, people go to church because of their needs. If you go to churches which preach prosperities and other things, those who claim to be healed, to heal and other things, they are there for the wrong reason. They are there for to be able to get work or to get money or something else. But one thing that is needed most in our lives is to be saved. And we thank the Lord for saving my soul, because I was born into a Pentecostal church, and when I was about 10 years, I was asked to come forward to raise up my hand and to accept Christ. I did, and I know Christ did not accept me. Because after doing that, I still felt that there was a vacuum in me, and I needed to fill that one. So I went around many places. When I went to high school, I joined a scripture union. Went to many places to be able to fill that vacuum. And I was lucky at the age of 24 that at a prayer meeting that I got saved. And I was lucky to be saved, because I could have died during those years. My father was a preacher, but he could not tell me any experience. So whether he got saved or not, I don't know. There are many, many, many millions of people in our country that doesn't know anything about salvation. So if you are here and you are lost, the only thing that you need most in your life is to be saved. In Africa, if you talk about salvation, nobody cares. I got a chance to preach on radio, and I was teaching how to be saved. And after that, I give some people a chance to call. And if somebody calls, the person must be a Baptist. But if you begin to preach about money, come for your healing, to interpret dreams, you hear people calling. Most people, because of poverty and other things, they don't know anything about salvation. And people are dying in masses. Here, if you are lost, and you are lucky to be born into a place like this, I think if you miss this opportunity and don't listen to the gospel sound and be saved, I think if you stand before the bar of God, it will be very disastrous, because you remember the opportunity that you had. And for us, those of us who are saved too, the Bible tells us to go to all nations. That is the greatest commission. And I thank the Lord for you people that you have allowed yourself, because not all of us can take planes to go overseas. But you have been generous over the years and helping us to build our churches and to do many things. And so I pray that you continue with whatever you are doing for God, because we know that sooner or later we will leave this place. And if you are able to, if you have a hand in one person who has been saved, I think you have a great reward, because the soul has no intrinsic value. You cannot compare the soul, the price of the soul, with anything. Something that God is craving for. He gave his only begotten son. God would give everything that he has for a soul. And Satan also would give whatever he has, because whenever he took Jesus to the mountains and asked him that he should bow, he showed the glory of this world, and should bow to him, he says, it has been given to me, and he will give to Jesus. And so the devil will give power. If in the elections in our place, people do anything, they can even kill to be able to win elections. So I call it worldly trinity, wealth, power, and riches, and fame. People want to be famous and people want to be known at all costs. So they do everything for that. But here, I'm happy to always to come here to see how the churches to help, they help those who are lost. I went to a revival with Brother Dean Sesi one time in Tennessee, and the church were having a revival, and only one child, only one boy was lost. So after the preacher has preached, he gave the altar call, and the church was, the boy was playing outside at the back. And so when the altar call was given and he was not coming to the altar, the pastor went there and told him that, will you go to the altar? The mother went, the grandmother went, almost every person of the, every member of the church went to encourage the child. And eventually he broke down, came to the altar and got saved. So how you exhibit love to your children and to people, we cherish most, but I want to encourage you to continue. Because despite all this, if you look into yourself and you be sincere, you know there is something missing. Always there is something missing. And that one, this morning, as the rich ruler went to Jesus, and Jesus enumerated all the commandments. And he said, as an Israelite, I've been following this commandment from my youth. And Jesus said, go and sell whatever you have. So if you are here, always there is something lacking in your life. And I want you to know, because I cannot know what is happening, what you are missing with you. But for me, I know. I know when I get discouraged at the mission field. I know when I get low, and I know when my prayer life is limited, and I always try to fix whatever is missing. Try it. So this morning, this message is intended for the lost and for the deceived, that always there is something missing. And that what thing is lacking, that is what you have to look onto and to be able to get saved. Because Christ says he saves to the utmost those who come to him. And that is why he saw it fit to save me, somebody who is worshiping idols. If God has found his fit to bring the gospel to Africa once again, then you people here, and if you are here, and if you don't seek the Lord, and if you lose your soul, and you go before the bar of God, I don't think you will always remember, and it will be disastrous for you. But those of us who are in Africa, when I was young, every house in my hometown had an idol. It's now that you don't see it anymore, but many people are still worshiping idols. But right now, the truth has come back. We know that the Ethiopian English took the truth to Africa, but as time went on, it died. So this morning, if you are here, the truth is being preached to you every day, and you don't put it off. I know sometimes you feel in your spirit that the gospel is directed to you personally. But if you don't take that opportunity to seek the Lord, there will be a time God will not deal with you anymore. Because God has, his mercy has limits. God saves to the utmost. He abundantly pardons, but his mercy has limits. There will be a time that you will not be convicted anymore. So now, I thank you very much for allowing me to come. And my prayer is that we always try to seek for something that is lacking in our lives. God told us to go throughout the world, starting from Jerusalem. That is your home, your acquaintances, your friends, your parents. So all of us, we have a part to play. The greatest commission tells us to go through the world, starting from Jerusalem to Samaria, to Judea, and to the utmost part of the world. That is, you started from your home. So if each one of us, if we make it possible, if we make it we want to at least witness to somebody throughout the whole year, if you choose one person to pray for and witness to, and able to bring the person to church, I think the number will grow. So my prayer this morning that we should look into ourselves and to see what is lacking and to be able to do. Witnessing is something that was how I got to know the Lord. Somebody witnessed to me, but I've never been good in witnessing. And that is one thing that we all have to do. The preacher is to preach, but not everybody can preach, but everybody can at least tell his experience to somebody. Amen. And that will help us. So one thing that is lacking is witnessing. The church is not witnessing anymore. The church in the world is not witnessing. Because I read a book, and they said about 600 churches in London, the English church, Anglican church, has collapsed, and they have built Muslim mosques in their places. Other sects, like Jehovah's Witnesses and the Muslims, they are winning a lot of souls, and they are sending them to hell. But the church is lacking everywhere. It's not here alone. I'm speaking from my experience in Africa. We were having all night service every Friday. We have on and we shifted it to the end of the month, and now people don't even come. So the prophecy, as the Bible says, that when the world is getting to its end, people's love was cold. And especially here, when somebody sees that, I think he has everything. Sometimes people don't need God anymore. Please look into yourself and be sincere to yourself and see what is lacking. If it is witnessing, start witnessing to your brothers, your sisters, your neighbors, starting from your hometown. Because there is missions everywhere. You can start missions everywhere. Not everybody have to go to Africa. I went to Illinois last 2 years, and after preaching at Pleasant View, there were no Baptist churches around until you go to Chicago. So I think there are many places that we can reach. And so we need to buckle up and to be able to do more for the Lord. We know that the Lord has appreciated what we have done, but we need to do more because we are going to give account of what we're going to have. And I bring my message to close. I want to entreat a senior friend who is here once again to be able to seek the Lord, because the only thing that is important in your life is to be saved. Because after everything, the Bible says, if you have the whole world and if you lose your soul, somebody like Alexander the Great, I read about him. He was 32 years when he died, and he conquered the known world. By then, he said he has conquered the whole world, but it was just a small place. That person was very rich. But when he was going to die, he said the best doctors should carry his casket, and they should spread silver and gold along the road to the cemetery. And he said three things. And the best doctors, and also the casket that he's going to be carried in, they should bring his hands out so that it will dangle like this, saying that he didn't bring anything to this world. He acquired silver, gold, everything. He acquired power. But I said, the best doctors cannot heal you when it comes time to die. And silver and gold cannot help when it comes to die. So at the age of 32, he was dying. And he said, a peasant in his cottage is even happier than he himself, who commands millions of army. And so, if you have everything and if you lose your soul, I don't think it's worth it. So thank you for allowing me to come. And you pray for us, pray for our schools, pray for our children, and pray for my wife. Thank you so much.